And welcome to the very first episode of OMG Craft! My name is Chad Johnson. I am your host for this show. And in this show, we are going to cover Minecraft in all of its glory. We're going to talk about texture packs. We're going to talk about mods. We're going to talk about maps. We're going to talk about technique. Whatever the heck you want to talk about in this show, that's what we're going to cover. If you have ideas for the show that you want to hit me up to have them be in the show, like say you need something explained or you need a tip that you've been searching all over the internet to get, feel free to email me, mail@omgcraft.com, or submit it to our subreddit, especially if there's something that you want to show me. You want to show off your awesome redstone creation or your awesome map, submit it to the subreddit at reddit.com/r/omgcraftshow. And the users in there will upvote it or downvote it, depending on how good or bad it is, and I will get to see it. So please feel free to send those things along. This episode is jam-packed. We have news. We are going to get into some redstone basics, the very basics of redstone. And then after that, I have my three favorite things this week in Minecraft that I'm going to show off to you. Lots and lots of stuff. And I would really like to thank everyone who helps me. But you know what? We'll thank them near the end of the show. First, let's get into some news. So Mojang announced on their blog this week that Update 1.3.2 will be arriving here on August 16th. In this update, there are a few bug fixes. They have fixed the falling out of the nether bug, the random suffocation and damage bug, and new, there is an ability to hide the IP addresses in the in multiplayer worlds when you're on your multiplayer screen, which is really helpful to me because I have to download a special mod just to make sure that I don't give away any of those IP addresses. You can do that by hitting F1. So if you have pre-downloaded the snapshot, it's not really, they didn't call it a snapshot in the update, in the blog update. So I wonder if they're still, anyway, it is pre-release. You can go and download it off of their blog, mojang.com, and check that out. Also, Dinnerbone, who is one of the developers who helps build Minecraft, gave us some really, really interesting stuff to look forward to. Let me go ahead and bring up these images. Via Twitter, he sent out some shots of some things that he would like to implement in Minecraft. So first we're going to take a look at these are, oops, of course, creeper. Boom! This is, I guess there are frames, and you can put items into these frames. So if you have an item in your hand, right-click the frame. He hasn't actually shown this off, so this is, I'm kind of assuming how this is going to work. And then that item gets stuck in that frame. Here's some more. There's armor. There's a bow. There's potions. So this could really, and it's like a chest, but it only does a single item, which is kind of cool because there's a lot of times where I'm in a spot that I just need one item. Next to my wheat fields, I just need a hoe, and that's it. And so you can grab that, and that'll pop out of the frame, and you can use it. Jeb also sent out a tweet that said that he was helping Dinnerbone work on this, and what he added was a background. So you can see in here there's an ender chest, there's a sticky piston, and there's a fence in there, and that has an added background. So these are some exciting things to look forward to in some new updates. One more thing, when Dinnerbone sent out this tweet, he also mentioned who he had submitted it, and it was a Reddit user. And he also mentioned one more thing: pots. So you can make, and I'll just go ahead and show off the item. It's like a decorative block that you can set things into. So right here, there's some saplings, there's a flower, there's a little spruce tree, and then down here is a cactus. Look at the potted cactus. That looks so cool. What an awesome decorating block. So I want flower pots so bad. I didn't even know that I wanted flower pots. I've been putting dirt down and then taking like trap doors and putting them up, and so that's how I've been making pots. I didn't think I'd be so excited about something so trivial in Minecraft. Anyway, Dinnerbone, thank you so much for sending those updates out. I'm really, really looking forward to them. That's about it for news. Now, next, I wanted to get into Redstone. For the very first episode of OMG Craft, I wanted to cover the basics of Redstone. You've probably seen Redstone, heard of Redstone. Maybe you've even built some things out of it, but I wanted to cover a lot of the basics, because when I started getting into Redstone, there was a lot that needed to be explained that I didn't even understand. Now, the world that I'm about ready to show off and run through was created by one of the producers of OMG Craft, T2T2, with the help of Cheeto. And this is based off of, let me make sure I get the username right, Tavi Ryder's World of Redstone. Now, the World of Redstone map that this is based off of was back in beta 1.1. So this map has been updated to have all the things that have come since beta 1.1, like pistons and stuff like that. So huge, huge, huge thanks to T2 for making this. So let's first get into, you can find Redstone in normal places that you would harvest blocks. Redstone comes in dust, and then when you put it on the ground, it looks like this. So right here, we have some powered and some unpowered redstone. When you set them next to each other, they make a line just like this. You can tell which one's powered and which one's unpowered by the particles coming off the top of it right here, and then also that it's brighter. Now, let's keep moving. Redstone, when a current is applied, will power the block that it's either sitting on, like these two blocks, and that's powering these redstone lamps down here, or the block that it ends up hitting. So see how this line goes into this block right here? It's hitting this block and powering it. So it's powering right up there. When it powers a block, I'm going to kind of show that off with this black wool here. When it powers a block, it will power redstone items here, here, here. And if this was, say, an actual block that redstone was going into, on top of it. So right here, this sign could be powered. This right here could have a powered item. And same thing with the other side. Boop, boop, boop. Now, when torches, redstone torches, and we'll get to those in just a second, are placed onto a powered block, they will turn off. So you can see that this block is not powered because the redstone lamp is not on top of it. But once we power this block, ba-ding, the redstone torch that's attached to the side of it will turn off. This one that's not on the block, that's just sitting here on the ground, did not turn off. Now, this can be used later, and I'll explain it in much more detail later, what you can... There's a whole bunch of logic gates and things that you can do with this sort of behavior. So if you turn it back on, off, the redstone torch turns on, turn it off, turn it on, and then... So it does the opposite of whatever the block that it is attached to does. Now, let's get into some of the creators of redstone current. Right here, I have a whole bunch of them. Let's start with the torch. It's probably the most basic. You set it on the ground, and it will send a current down to your output. Right here, we, to make it simple, have colored the inputs as red and the outputs as blue with these red and blue wool. Now, you can use whatever the heck you can set redstone on anything except for glass in the world. And so it doesn't need to be red wool or blue wool. That doesn't affect how redstone works. So this redstone torch right here is made just by putting a stick and redstone on top of the stick. And just imagine this as your crafting table and these bedrock blocks as nothing. So if you put a stick and redstone on top, you'll come up with one torch. The recipe only lets you have one torch per stick and redstone. Next is a switch or a lever. And this, when turned on, will send the current down the way. Some people like to use switches instead of these redstone torches because they don't create particles. So you can see the particles coming off of this torch. Sometimes in servers, you'll see people using only switches because these particles here will create lag. And that's created really simply by cobblestone and a stick. And lots of people have more cobblestone than they have redstone. So they feel like it is better to create create levers instead of torches. Next is a button. And a button is interesting because when you hit it, it'll turn on for a second and then it will turn off. It'll just create a 1 second pulse down the redstone current. And that's used by creating two smooth stone on top of each other. Also, there are pressure plates. There are two types of pressure plates, and they act a little bit differently from each other. They'll create a redstone current. The first one is a stone pressure plate, and the second one is a wooden pressure plate. The difference is that each of these will respond to when players or mobs stand on top of them. And you can also jump, and it will act accordingly. And so this pressure plate is used with two smooth stone. I'm going to steal this smooth stone to show off the difference between these two. This pressure plate, the wooden one, will also react to mobs and players, but it will also, which is different from the other one, react to entities that are thrown on top of it. If you throw an entity onto a stone pressure plate, it doesn't do a thing. Also, wooden pressure plates will respond to arrows. The next current generator is a detector rail. And you send a cart down the rails, and it hits a detector rail. It will start a current down the line. Detector rails are made by putting a stone pressure plate in the middle, and then this configuration. This is really nice for train stations. Also, new to 1.3, tripwire. Tripwire hooks and line will create a redstone current down the line, and that's how you make a hook. And if you want wire or string, you just use plain old string. Now, what can all of these currents do? What are they useful for? So, that is what this next part is about. First, we have rail. Rail direction will change if it's in a turning style. So it'll turn from right to left or left to right. So you can decide where minecarts go. Also, fence gates will open and close. Same with trapdoors, they will open and close. Dispensers will dispense whatever they have inside of them. Poop! And let's see. Yeah, there we go. I want an ocelot. And this will do it in a random fashion. That's just how dispensers work. Next is doors, wooden and iron doors. Hey, little ocelot. You're running into that thing. I'll open it for you. There you go. Good ocelot. Also, note blocks will go off, and you can set the tone of a note block just by right-clicking. Bing. Also, repeaters. We'll get into repeaters a little bit later. This is another redstone item that people can use, and so your input will make a repeater activate. Also, we have pistons. Those are either normal pistons or sticky pistons, like this one. And not finally, but close to last, we have powered rails. Powered rails will either have a minecart stopped on it when it is unpowered, and then when it becomes powered, it will send it on its way. Finally, TNT reacts to redstone. So here we go. And boom! Yay! I love it when TNT explodes. Okay, so redstone line, the current will only go down the redstone line 15 blocks. So you can see right here at the 15th block, we have some particles coming off, but at the adjacent block, ain't no particles living. You can also tell based off of the redstone lamps at the bottom. They stop right here at 15. So if you want to create a redstone contraption that is larger than this 15-block radius, you have to use something called a repeater. You can also do this with redstone torches in a different technique, but I'm not actually going to get into that here. But this repeater will be the best thing for you. Repeaters are interesting because you can actually delay them. We're going to get into the delaying next, but if you want to delay them, all you have to do is right-click on them, and that sets the delay between 1 tick, 2 ticks, 3 ticks, and 4 ticks. More about delays right here. Whenever a redstone torch activates, it has a 1 tick delay. Now, let me first get into what ticks are. The way that the server updates is based off of ticks. There's about 20 ticks a second for a server, so that's about 20 updates a second on a server. If your server is running slow, there's maybe, it can range anywhere between 1 tick a minute to, you know, 15 ticks a second. So that is what a tick is. It's however many times your computer or your game is going to update what's going on. So 1 tick updating means that it's doing it as fast as it can possibly do. So let's get back in. So these redstone torches are a 1 tick delay, but these repeaters can be changed to be 1, 2, 3, and 4. And you can see that written on the signs right here. So I'm going to show off what that looks like. If you hit this button, you can see that the delay goes down the redstone torch line, just like this. Boop, 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 boop. But you can see on the top, it takes a lot longer because we've delayed the repeaters at the top. This is really useful if you're trying to do complicated timing things, like you need to wait for a block to update in a cobblestone generator, or you need to wait for a piston to push into place before something else fires in your redstone generator or redstone contraption. So that is what delaying a redstone repeater can do. Really, really useful when you get into the more complicated things. The other thing is that redstone repeaters have a certain direction that they need to face in order to work. 1 second, let me hit boop. There we go. So you can see at the top there is a little bit of an etch of an arrow in this repeater. So the current is being created by this torch, heading along this way. It hits this repeater and then comes out the other end of the repeater in this inner circle. On the outer circle, though, the redstone torch is creating a current, sending it down, but it hits the repeater, which is facing the wrong direction, and the current does not continue on after that. This can be helpful and frustrating because in order to place it down, you have to be facing it in the right way, but really, it's helpful because you can use this to work redstone in tight spaces, because now instead of having all 4 adjacent blocks being able to do anything, now you only have 1 that the current will come through. And we'll see that later in the gates, the logic gates that we're going to see in a bit. Now, how does redstone react when placed on the ground? Let's first get into torches. Torches will power a block above, a block below, and a block over to the side here whenever placed down. So that's why this line is activated, because this torch is setting it on. Also over here, you can see the same thing. There is redstone up here that is on because the torch below it is powering it. And this one is on because the torch above it is powering it. Redstone, when placed, can go up a block, just 1 block. So it can go up a block or down a block, but it cannot jump a 2-block jump here, just like this. So that's why that lamp is not powered. Also, redstone cannot go diagonally through blocks. You might think, oh, there's just so little space right there. I should be able to let this redstone jump through there. That is not allowed. So you can see that the current is stopped and is not going through these blocks. The thing that you can use is a transparent block like this glowstone. It'll go through that. Or half slabs. Upper half slabs will allow a current to travel on, and so you can see that these redstone lamps are powered, and this one is not. Now let's get into some things that you shouldn't do with redstone. Oh, you can see the stripy line. It's a very dangerous place here. This TNT is sitting next to redstone. You may think that when this redstone is activated, it wouldn't light the TNT on fire. Well, it's not going to light it on fire. It's just going to activate it. So if I break this, set my redstone torch down, it will activate that TNT, even though it's going by the TNT, not really into the TNT or powering a block next to TNT. Also, water will destroy all redstone creations. If I put down this torch, it's going to pop off. That happens with repeaters and with redstone dust. Also, here's something you probably shouldn't make. This is a timing clock, and what's going to happen is it's going to work really, really, really hard until it burns itself out, and we can see it do that. And if you think about what's going on, is this torch will turn on this block, which will turn on this redstone, which will turn on this block, which will turn off the torch. Once the torch is off, the whole system repeats itself, which means that this block is no longer powered, which means that this block will turn on. So this type of clock will run so fast that it ends up burning out the torch below it. You can hear it actually go psh, just like that. Don't create a clock like this. There's lots of other ways to create clocks in Minecraft, but this one is just broken and will not work. Now, let's get into something that is really, really exciting with redstone. You can create creations that do more than just say, open a door. Do a more than just yes, no, on, off, zero, one sort of style of activity. So the way you do that is by creating redstone in such a way and using the fact that torches will turn on and turn off when they're placed in certain configuration. When they're placed against a block, they'll do the opposite. And using this sort of 3D, this is how I imagine it in my mind, is like this 3D programming that you're doing with blocks. You can create logic gates. Logic gates are something that you see in hardware development and hardware engineering in computers. So you may have seen things in Minecraft like there was a graphing calculator that was made using these logic gates and memory cells and things like that. I'm not going to show you how to do that, but I am going to show you some of the basic logic gates that you may want to use in your creations. And I'll try to explain some of the things that you could use these logic gates for. So first is a NON gate. What this does is the opposite of whatever the input is. So I want you to remember again that your input is in red and your output is in blue. So here the input is off, and this could be also translated into yes, no. So let's say this is no, and the output would be on or yes, or we could also say that this is zero and this is one. I'm now making it very confusing. I understand. I'm trying to show you that you can do things in binary, in yes, no's, or on, offs. All of that stuff is exactly the same. So because that the redstone torch will turn off when this is powered, it will do the opposite of whatever the input is. See that? So you can tell that my redstone lamp turns off when the line is on, and it turns on when the line is off. That is the very basic NON gate. Now let's get into an AND gate. Using this setup here, with the torches in this configuration, and same thing with the redstone, you can create the sort of gate that needs this switch and you can see that it's off, it's still off, redstone lamp is still off, and this switch needs to be on to turn on your output. So, and they both need to be on, this one and this one, for your output to work. If you are worried that you're not going to remember these contraptions, don't worry about it, because I'm going to go ahead and send you, at the end of this, you can go to omgcraft.com/go/world of redstone and download that very first map done by Terra of Raids. Oh man, I keep getting his name wrong. Terra of Riders, World of Redstone. So if you are worried that you're not going to remember this setup, don't worry. You can go ahead and download that map, and there are a lot more logic gates. So let's continue on. Next is an OR gate. So this input can be on to create the output of being on. So if I turn 1 on, it will allow the output to also be on. Now then, using what we learned earlier with repeaters, these repeaters will not send line redstone current down the opposite way because they're facing one way. So this is an isolated OR gate where it won't turn on the other inputs, just like that. And once again, you don't need to be using these redstone lamps. These are we're just showing off which one's on and which one's off. So this is an OR gate. This could really be useful if you wanted a door to open, but you wanted 4 or 5 different gates to be able to activate it. Now, the one drawback is that if you come over here and switch this one on, your input was already on before, so you can't do anything about that. But we will get into a different gate that can solve that problem later. Next is a NAND gate. And this, whenever there's an N in front of the AND, or because this we saw this earlier, it was an AND gate, but the N stands for NOT. So this is a NOT AND gate. Now, what that means is that it's doing the opposite of what the AND gate did. And because before, if both your inputs were on, your output was also on. Now, both my inputs are on, but my output is off. It's the opposite of an AND gate. Really, all it's doing is converting the current to the opposite of what you'd sort of expect it to be. So if you want the output to turn off, you need to turn both inputs on. That is an NAND gate. I also like it because it reminds me of NAND cat. But that's a different gate altogether. This is a NOR gate. Once again, it does the opposite of an OR gate. So with an OR gate, if your input was on, your output would be off. But now, if your input was on, your output would be on. Now, if your input is on, your output is off. And it can be this input or that input. Next is an XOR gate. What an XOR gate does, with the X in front of it, it will allow either independently of these switches to control the output. So, if I turn my input on, turns on my output. But if I come over here, where before with an OR gate, if I turned on another input, it would not change the output. I can flick this, boop, and my output goes off. So what you could use this for is a door that has two switches on opposite sides of the wall where you couldn't get at both of your inputs. And once again, where before I used this one to turn it on with that one. Now I can turn it off and the output turns on. And you can do this in any configuration. As long as you're switching switches, your output is changing. It doesn't matter how it works. They can either both be on, both be off. But if you change one, your output changes. Really, really handy. Next is an XNOR gate, where that was a XOR gate. This does the opposite of what it did before. So if you turn an input on, your output turns off. So very simple. It's just the opposite of the last one. But it has a much more complicated setup than the one before. Well, I wouldn't say complicated, but it's just different. Finally, and this is the last one, we've had a lot to go through, this is an implies gate. An implies gate is interesting because it allows you to lock your output. So here, this is in the locked configuration, where no matter what I do to this input, let's say input B, I can't do anything to it. Doesn't change the output. But if I come over here and unlock input B by switching input A on, I now have control of my output. This could be used to lock down a door or you may need to do a few things before you can actually use a redstone lever. That is pretty cool that it just locks down the thing. And I want to give a huge, huge, huge thanks to T2T2 for coming up with this world for me to play around in. Once again, if you would like even more redstone things to run through, please go check out Terra Riders World of Redstone. You can see it right here. It's on a dirt world, and there are a lot of gates that you can run through. Remember that this was built in 1.1, so not absolutely everything is going to be in there. There have been a lot of updates since 1.1, but all of your gates are still completely useful. I hope that you've learned a little bit about Redstone. Redstone can be frustrating at times, especially if you don't know the basics. So I hope that I've helped you out. Finally, this is my favorite part of the show. We're going to get into my top three things that I have been enjoying the past week in Minecraft. This week, we have a mod. We actually have a launcher for you. We also have a mod that helps you navigate around your world. And then finally, a PvP server that I have really, really, really been enjoying. So first, let me get into my first mod. This is a launcher. This launcher is called Magic Launcher. What Magic Launcher does is when you download it, it'll be downloaded as a zip. Just unzip that file, and you'll have to download a PC version or a Mac version. But you can go to omgcraft.com/go/magic-launcher, and you'll be taken to the forum page where this exists. And it will look just like your Minecraft game. And in fact, if you look over here in the corner, you can see that's my normal Minecraft game right here. Right next to it is Magic Launcher. Magic Launcher, when I go ahead and launch this baby up. And right now, I am showing off version 0.9.8. It looks an awful lot like the normal Minecraft launcher, except there are some tabs here at the top and some settings here on the sides. First, let's head over to these tabs. If you hit the first one, this is the normal Minecraft tab that you would expect to see in your normal launcher. Next is a Reddit tab that shows off reddit.com/r/Minecraft. Next is a Notch tab, which shows off his Twitter feed. A Jeb tab, which shows off his Twitter feed. A World of Notch Tumblr feed. A Feedburner feed. And a Wikipedia feed. So now you have tons of information here right at the top. This isn't even the best part. If you come and look over here at where you're going to log in, and let's go ahead and make this bigger. Oops. By bigger, I mean let's go ahead and close it. I love that this is a live show. Over here in the corner, you can see setup, options, and log in. Let's go and check out setup. And also, there's this drop-down, but we'll get into what that does later. Setup. This allows me to add mods right here in the game window. I don't have to use a separate application to push my mods into my jar file. On top of that, I can choose multiple configurations. So here at the top, I'm in default, but I have another one named Minimap. And then I have another one named 1.2.5 stuff. So if I go to Minimap, you can see that I've already added mods in here. It tells me that my Minecraft jar is 1.3.1 and that there are some external mods down here. Let me go ahead and jump into 1.2.5, and you can see that my Minecraft jar is a 1.2.5 jar. This allows me to keep my jars all intact and run through these right from here. So now knowing this information, I'm going to close out, and I can choose the jar that I want to use just from this little configuration window right here. I don't have to go in, rename jars, and then launch my game. I can just do it straight from here. So, so nice. Let's go back into setup. If I wanted to add a mod, all I have to do is run on over here to add, click it. This automatically navigates to your mods folder in your Minecraft, if you're in your .Minecraft folder on PC, in your application support Minecraft folder if you're on a Mac. And you can see that I've already downloaded some mods like IP Hider, Mod Loader. And these are all in zips. It'll unzip it. In fact, you probably don't want to unzip it. And just like that. But now, I don't want to hang out here and default. I want to go back to my Minimap. And you can see that I have Mod Loader installed, Reese Minimap, and also IP Hider. And that's what I'm going to use to show off my next tip. Now, Once you've done all of this, you can just go ahead and click OK. You could also test to make sure that your Minecraft is going to launch. When you do that, it'll go ahead and open up a separate window, and looks like it launched just fine. And you can also view logs of what's been going on inside of there. I really don't know what any of that means, but if you do, that's awesome. Let's go ahead and click OK. Now, I'm going to go ahead and do some stuff that you're not allowed to see. And we are going to... Now I'm going to show off what server I wanted to show off. And inside this server, you're going to get to see my third favorite thing. So you're going to get a 2-for-1 here coming up. My server is MineZ. Now, before I talk about this, I need to talk about DayZ, depending on where you are in the world. DayZ is an Arma 2 mod that you could add to your Arma 2 game, and this is a much more realistic, first-person shooter game, a first- and third-person shooter game. And if you find yourself in a world full of zombies, resource gathering is your main motive. You really don't want to die because you lose all of your things. You try to gang up with your friends and go find resources, and you can, like, put together things to make vehicles and... You have to watch out for raiders and all sorts of stuff just like that. That's a lot of fun, but it's not on my favorite game in the whole wide world. MineZ, in fact, is. Taking DayZ and porting it to Minecraft. You're going to find zombies. You're going to have to resource gather, and you're going to have to try to stay alive as long as you can inside of MineZ. If you would like to check out MineZ, I'm going to first send you over to their Reddit page, reddit.com/r/MineZ. And they have all the information and extra information about how to join. Down here, there are public servers for you, and there are also private servers if you help them out. So let's get straight into the game. I'm going to go ahead and join MineZ, and I've been playing with some friends for a little bit, so I already have some items. Items work a little bit differently in this, and by the way, everything is a server-side mod instead of a client-side mod. Now, you're getting the 2-for-1 here, because up in the corner is my third pick, Ree's Minimap, and we're going to get into that in a little bit later. This is a PvP server, so people will hurt you. When you start off, you are given a wooden sword. Whoa! Ah! Die! Ah! some things to note is that your enchantment bar, your... God, what is that called? I'm trying to kill zombies here. I'm not actually thinking. Oh my gosh, please don't hurt me. I'm on a show right now. Okay, so your enchantment level down there, see how it just changed from 3 to 2 if you're looking really closely? That's actually your hydration bar. So if I come over here, I have some water. Ah, oh, no. Oh, I'm bleeding. Oh, gosh. Okay, so I drank water, and so now I am hydrated. So I went up to 19. I'm going to add... there we go. Whew, much better. You can see in the chat. I was bleeding, so I just used a piece of paper as a bandage to stop my bleeding. And that is, and you can also see that people are killing people in the chat. Is that my only piece of paper? Darn it. Okay, so, and then what you're seeing that below my XP level, there's the XP bar, and that's changing all around. What's happening with that is the faster you move, the more likely zombies are going to notice you. So that's your zombie notice bar. I wish I could find another zombie. Yeah, that's famous last words. Zombies move incredibly fast in this game, just like they do in DayZ. So, I just heard someone get... What'd they get? Are they up here? Woohoo! Okay, so here is a chest. The only way to get resources, darn it, in this world is through chests. You can actually punch a chest, and it will give you... Ow! Ah, no, don't hurt me. Ah, dang it. Okay, well, now you're going to get to see what you spawn with. When you're killed, you actually turn into a zombie yourself. So now there's a zombie in the world that that player has to kill. That zombie also has all the items that I had in my inventory. So once they kill that zombie, they're going to get everything that I had in my inventory. I didn't even catch, who is that? Flightless bird. Yeah, find that person and you know what to do. So when you are killed, they get all your items if they end up killing the zombie that you turn into, but also you're kicked from the game. So I've just been kicked from the server and I have to go back in and join. When you join, whoa, there's a lot of people in here. Hey, Cheeto, how's it going? Here are your rules, and they also explain that a lot of items in this world are different than any other world. See this diamond? Oh, it's so nice. Aw, scheduled reboot right in the middle of the show. Okay, so items work differently in this world than they do in other worlds. So you saw my paper was actually a bandage. Shears are what you would use to help heal other players. So you hit them with shield, with shears, then you hit them with, what is it, red rose dye, and then you hit them with paper, and then you hit them with shears again, and they get an enchantment to start healing again. Other things is that there really is no diamond armor anywhere in the world. So you saw the diamond there, but there isn't any diamonds in the world. You have wood, you have stone, and you have iron. Iron is the best thing you can get. So if you happen to find iron, good on you. Also, the only way to get health back is to use items. You can't just have a full health bar and get your health back. And food will only be given in one half chicken leg assignments. So if you have bread or if you have melon or anything like that, you're only going to get a half heart back every time that you eat something. Don't worry, we are back in the game. And to start off, you're in this area and there's no way to get out of it. So you have to type /mineZ spawn and then you are sent to a random spawn location throughout the world. Now that I've done all of that, and you can see the items that you're given down here, this Ender Eye allows you to be in a public chat. So you can see down there, I4 in the bottom. That's this eye. I hate being in that freaking public chat, so I throw that Ender Eye away as fast as I can because I don't like being in that chat. If you don't have the eye selected, you can only hear players within a 250 block radius. Also, the universal sign for peace is to block your sword. See how he's blocking his sword right there? That's the sign for peace. Hey, dude, I'm not going to kill you because I don't want to be embarrassed on a live stream anymore. See ya, Tanky Tank. Okay, so now let's get into good old Ray's minimap. Up here in the corner, you can see that there is a minimap displayed. Okay, so I'm walking around in this world, and it looks like I found something up here. Let me run to it. And you can see that my X and Y coordinates, X and Z coordinates, are displayed underneath the map. Also, my Y coordinates, but those are not as exciting because that's just up and down. So here I found this location. Other people might be around. This is a PvP server, so I'm a little bit worried that I might be killed. I'm not seeing any zombies. That's a good thing. But this looks like something really, really interesting to me. And so I'd like to keep this information available for when I'm playing. Oh, yes. Finally. Woohoo. What'd I get? Cocoa beans? Come on. Cocoa beans suck. Hey, is that Tinky Tank? I hope you're a Tinky Tank because you're not going to hurt me. So if I would like to add a location, what I can do is hit the C button. Let me do it in a safe location. C. And this is a coordinate. So I'll call this Sandstone House, and you can see the coordinates. I can change the color if I want. I can change it to be more green, more red, more blue, or less blue. Let's go ahead and save it. So now, look at that wonderful coordinate has arrived on my map. Unfortunately, because I'm playing wheat. Just one wheat? I can't even make food with that. Jeez. Okay, so once you've played on a on a computer for a while, you're probably going to have a lot of waypoints. Unfortunately, I didn't bring my other waypoints over with me when I started this game here that we're playing now. So I actually have waypoints for other towns within this server that you're not seeing because I didn't transfer them over. But you can see now on my map that waypoint is over there, and there's also an arrow on the side of the map that points to that waypoint, and it travels along with me. So once you find really neat places on a server, you can just map it down with Ray's minimap, and you're good to go. Now then, there are some options. If you hit the M key, you get a lot of options. So if I wanted to disable the map, there it goes. I can render it as a surface or a biome. And I like the surface. And you can see that it's nicely, gradiated, if that's a word. And then this uses client-side stuff. So you don't have to worry that the server is set up. I had a question if this uses a dynamic map sort of plugin. Not at all. You also have a lot of options to change your map type. I can change it into a round circle, change it into a square. You have lots and lots and lots of options. You can do, whatever the heck you want. Ray's minimap is the go-to map if you want a tiny little map up in the corner. And I've found it very, very, very helpful. So, that was Magic Launcher. Love the dang thing. MineZ. And you can check that out at reddit.com/r/MineZ. And then Ray's minimap. And you can check that out at omgcraft.com/go/Ray's minimap. And that's REI minimap. And REI minimap, I didn't add an apostrophe or an S to the end of that logo. So if you want to check those out, feel free. Well, that's it. We've come to the end of our show. I hope that you enjoyed it. Huge, huge, huge thanks to T2T2 and Cheeto for helping me out. They helped me run, and Blender MF as well. You're going to get to see something else coming up for him in just a bit. But those three guys are absolutely brilliant. They help me run my Twitter, my Reddit. They moderate the Reddit. They help me choose stories and write up notes for me when I have a very busy, busy day working here at Twit. Also, big, big thanks to Twit for allowing me to use their studio, keep their lights on, use their TriCaster. See those screens in the background? They own those. I don't own them. Huge, huge thanks to Twit. And that is about it for me. If you have suggestions that you'd like to send into the show, mail them to me at mail@omgcraft.com. If you would like to see previous episodes, all the way back to episode 1, that's this one. Well, if you're just now watching this and you want to see future episodes, you can go to omgcraft.com and there are all of our episodes. We are on YouTube. We're on iTunes. We are everywhere that you want to watch video. So please check us out. We're even on Zune. We may even be on, I can't even think of like a defunct network. We're at Google Video. We may even be on Google Video. I think they got rid of Google. I don't think you can add anything to Google Video anymore. We're going to make it happen just for you. We're going to add, no, we're not. I'm sorry. That is it for our wonderful little show. Thank you so much for sticking around, and we will see you next week. Bye, guys. The potion, so I'm dead. And they have enchanted swords.
Get iPod off of that tower.
Whoa. Ash accidentally killed herself. Wow.
I hope someone hit him.
Yes. Wow, they made that way hard. Ah, what the heck? Ah, I don't have anything.